This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Let me ask you something. Do you know any twins? Some researchers at Michigan State University know more than 28,000 twins. The Michigan State University Twin Registry is part of the Department of Psychology at the school. Alex Burt is a professor of psychology there. Your project is following twins, a lot of them. Why?
Twins are a brilliant natural experiment, as we sometimes call them, sort of a gift of nature. They allow you to parse apart genetic and environmental influences and correlational studies in ways that you just otherwise really cannot do or can't do well.
Yeah, I read the findings from studying twins have been influential in detecting and treating various diseases or psychological disorders. Why are twins able to do that when others are not?
Twin studies do is they leverage the differential degree of genetic relatedness between identical twins and fraternal twins.
I'm going to have to ask you what that means.
Genetic relatedness is basically the extent to which you share segregating genes or the genes that vary across people. Typical first-degree relatives share about 50% of their genes, so you, by definition, share 50% with your biological mother, 50% with your biological father. You share about 50% with each of your full siblings, 25% with a half-sibling, 25% with grandparents, with aunts and uncles. And you can look at any familial relationship in that way. You can figure out what proportion of genes they're likely to share. Twins are really interesting because fraternal twins are just like regular full siblings, in the sense that they are from two eggs and two sperm. They share about 50% of their segregating genes. Identical twins, some people describe them as nature's clones. It's a single human conception, so one egg and one sperm. And then for reasons we don't understand all that well, actually, that single embryo will split into two prior to implantation. So this happens very, very early on in the pregnancy, typically before the woman has even missed a menstrual cycle. And voila, you have two separate people with exact copies of each other's DNA.
So if you've got identical twins, these two perfectly matched people, I guess then it's easier to tell if they have different environmental experiences or different traumatic things happening or, you know, psychologically serious things happen to them. You can contrast and compare?
Yep, that's exactly right. So that is one, not the only one, but that is one of the very cool, if you will, scientifically cool features about identical twins, is that they allow you to study environmental influences in effectively a causal way, which is for correlational designs, you know, correlation does not equal causation, except in this particular case, basically, if you can follow them longitudinally and with a large enough sample and so forth.
You also want to get fraternal twins to sign up as well, right?
Yes, we do. And that's because twin designs don't just rely on identical twins. So identical twins are ideal for identifying environmental influences. But for identifying genetic influences and other environmental influences, you really want to have fraternal twins in the study as well. So it's quite a simple design, actually. You give up, let's say, questionnaires, or you could look at experiences or so forth. But let's just say questionnaires on a particular trait, let's say depression. So you would give many twins in a sample, a depression questionnaire, and then you would look and compare sibling similarity separately by identical and fraternal twins. You would look to see, are identical twins more similar to each other than our fraternal twins? And if they are, because identical twins share 100% of their genes, fraternal twins share only 50% of their segregating genes, we infer that there's a genetic influence on that trait, on depression in this case. If identical twins are not more similar than fraternal twins, twin siblings are not more similar than fraternal twin siblings, we infer, okay, genes must not matter for this trait because it doesn't matter that these twins here, even though they're genetically identical, they're not more similar as a result. And so it allows you to pull apart and decompose, is the word we use, genetic from environmental influences. You can also look at interactions between genes and environments. It's a pretty fascinating design.
How unique is the Michigan State University Twin Registry in studying this kind of health research?
There's several twin registries nationally and internationally. Certainly in the United States, it is definitely one of the larger twin registries. But I think even internationally, it's one of the larger twin registries.
I was wondering how you managed to get more than 28,000 twins to sign up for the registry. How did that start?
Both Dr. Kelly Klump, who co-directs the registry with me, both Kelly Klump and I went to University of Minnesota, which is sort of a hotbed for twin research.
Minnesota twins, of course. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah. We weren't there at the same time, but we studied with some of the same professors. And when we both ended up at Michigan State, even though we don't study the same disorders, it just made sense for both of us to sort of, you know, pool our shared expertise and develop something. And so it sort of started out as the collaboration that would help us recruit twins for each of our independent research projects, but it just kind of blossomed as it was going on. It was just clear it was a good idea, and it was generating interest, and other researchers around campus and around the country were interested in trying to recruit twins out of the registry and seeing if they wanted to participate in other research studies. And so it just became, you know, I'd like to claim that we just had this brilliant insight, but it happened organically, I would say.
So you're also researching the children of twins. How's that helpful to your research?
You know, again, you're leveraging different degrees of genetic relatedness. So the children of a set of dizygotic twins are genetically cousins. They have one set of their parents or siblings. Monozygotic twins, again, it's quite interesting. Genetically speaking, the respective children of a set of monozygotic twins are actually half-siblings genetically, even though that's not the way they live their life and that's not the way they conceive of themselves. Let's say you're talking about a pair of female identical twins. Genetically, they are identical. Their children are as genetically related to their mother as they are to their aunt. 50%, right?
Okay, yeah, you're blowing my mind now, because I hadn't thought about this in the past like this. I'm glad somebody is. So they become very valuable in the same way that fraternal twins would be.
But they have the additional piece that you can also look at intergenerational genetic transmission.
Right.
You've got multiple generations. It's sort of taking the twin design and adding to it.
Alex Burt is a professor at the Michigan State University Twin Registry, which is part of the Department of Psychology there. Thanks very much for talking with us. This has just been kind of mind-bending.
Well, my pleasure.